I'm up next. For those of you who have just joined us, I'm Jason Zern from the National Clonal Germplasm Repository in Corvallis, Oregon. And I want to take a little bit of time here to acknowledge some people that have been helping me a lot with this analysis and gathering the data from our broader community, that being Melusu Fakir and Craig Hardner from the University of Queensland, and Nahala Basil, who's been instrumental in helping bringing some of the strawberry community together to get this SSC data. But this work is quite the collaborative process. There are quite a few people involved in institutions, as you can see, for trying to tackle some of the work that we've been doing for developing or try to model the genetic bioenvironmental effects that we're seeing with soluble solid content in strawberries. So as a little bit of a background, so genomic prediction is the ability to predict breeding values using for a trait using genomic data. So in the general process of this, we'd be using a training population where we would have both phenotypic and genotypic data, and we'd use this to create a model. And from that, we can insert new genotypic data into the model and predict how these varieties might perform phenotypically in a certain environment. And this kind of work has been conducted at the University of Florida and is currently being conducted to great effect through their breeding program, and they're using genomic prediction and genomic selection to make tremendous gains. And one thing about this whole modeling procedure is that a multi-environment model can provide a lot better prediction accuracy compared to just a single environment model. And additionally, if you have multiple environments where you use to create this model, you can also fit in genomic data into this model and use to predict trait performance for varieties before they've even been tested in some environments. So this has tremendous potential for a breeding tool where you could use it either for kind of identifying potential parents that you might want to bring into your breeding program, or having an idea of where some of your new varieties and selections might have opportunities for new markets in other areas. So the trait that we're targeting is soluble solid content, and this is kind of a metric that we use for measuring fruit sweetness in strawberry. In strawberry, about 90% of soluble solids are sugars, so it's a pretty good metric or quick metric for breeding without having to delve into doing too much fruit chemistry analysis. The problem with it, though, is it's quite highly influenced by environment, and so different factors such as temperature or soil, different soil types, or even the amount of water the plant's getting can greatly impact what kind of SSC you're having from a year-to-year basis, and then also from a fruit-to-fruit basis, the SSC content can, or soluble solid content can vary quite a bit. So knowing that, we have a bit of an uphill challenge here, but we're looking to try and explore this a little bit more and try and develop and do this through two different objectives. So one, we wanted to try and model individual environments from multiple locations to explore SSC heritability in each of these locations. And then two, we wanted to try and develop a multi-environment model to explore G by E interaction contributions to SSC, as well as a potential tool in the future for strawberry breeding programs to see how their varieties could perform in other growing environments. So just as kind of a general overview of the methods that I'll be talking about here, we had a multi-step process that involved gathering a large amount of data from multiple breeding programs across the world, and then curating that data into a common data set where we were looking at both common markers as well as common nomenclature between trials, developing individual models for each experimental environment, and then trying to create more of a unified model that we were in the process of trying to optimize. So these are the locations that we were able to get data from. So you'll notice here that we have 8 locations, 2 in Australia, 2 in Europe, and 4 in the United States. And across these 8 locations, there's a total of 18 trials of data that we were able to garner. So it was quite a large section of data. And from that, we received both genotypic data and phenotypic data. And all of this data was, or the genotypes were all done using either the 35K or the iStraw 90 Axiom chips for strawberries. So we had to parse this down to a common set of markers that performed well across all of these different trials. And so we started off by parsing down to just the 35,000 markers that are on the iStraw 35, or shared between the iStraw 35 and the iStraw 90. And then we filtered that further on call quality, where we were only looking for the markers that scored as poly high resolution between all the trials. And then after that, we looked at samples that were genotyped, or genotypes that were done in multiple environments. So we had some shared individuals where in one trial, or for example, in Michigan, we had some samples that were also trialed in Florida. And so we wanted to make sure that these genotypes matched. And if they didn't match, we wanted to make sure we were able to keep these individuals separate so that we could have an more accurate interpretation in our model. After that, we selected markers with less than 25% missing data and went to impute those using fimpute, and then looked at some of the population structure using principal component analysis, or coordinate analysis, sorry, I need to change that. And I finally, we developed a genetic additive genetic relationship matrix using SOMR to feed into our model. So just kind of a brief discussion or look at some of the marker distributions. This is how we had 12,000 markers that we're using for the trial. And you can see here that across the Fragaria vesca genome, they were pretty well distributed. We haven't had a chance yet to see where they're at on the Fragaria ananassa genome. I know that just came out, and it is a question that we're kind of curious about. But based off of the distribution that we have on the Fragaria vesca genome, we have high hopes that also our marker distribution across Fragaria ananassa will also be quite good. You'll also notice that our minor allele frequency, we have the most of the markers have kind of around a point, 0.0 or a little above 0.05, around a 0.07 minor allele frequency. So that should help us, or help a lot in our predictive ability moving forward. Another thing to touch on is population structure. So we were looking at a few very different growing environments between the Florida breeding program, which is more of a subtropical type growing environment, versus some of the temperate growing environments that we're seeing in Oregon and Michigan and Europe. And so here is just kind of a brief look at a principal coordinate analysis. And you can see that there's a little bit of population structure where our first principal coordinate is explaining about 18 to 19% of the phenotypic variation. And they kind of separate out kind of down the middle between Florida and Australia on the right versus Oregon and Michigan and more of those temperate environments on the left. And that a lot of the Australian breeding lines there in that program were also using Florida cultivars as founders for their breeding program. So that kind of explains why we're seeing this, but overall the structure, there's pretty limited structure, so we're quite happy with this. So here's just kind of a snapshot of all the possible terms that we got for how people design their experiments from all these different locations and trials. And so even in some locations, we had a few different, from year to year, trial to trial, there was a few different experimental designs. So we had to go through and kind of collapse this down into common terms. And you can see here where we're looking, and these are the terms that we initially settled on for throwing into our initial models of individual environments for each of these separate trials. Now, I said there were 18 trials for the Michigan and Oregon data sets. There's actually 2 years of data, but each set of data was taken on the exact same plants, and so we've just kind of collapsed those in and used year as a additional factor within the model. So here's kind of the preliminary results on our individual model. You'll notice that the average heritability is around 0.25, which, hey, for SSC, that's pretty good. We're really happy about that. But you'll notice that there's quite a bit of variability as well between environments. You'll notice if you look at the Wandon Australia trial that we have a heritability of zero, and it's pretty much all environmental influence affecting SSC. And then we have another outlier there with New Hampshire, the 2018, where we had a estimated heritability of 0.74. So there's something going on with that data, and we're trying to pin that out. It's a bit of an outlier, but if we remove that 0.74 heritability and take a look at it, we actually end up with an average heritability of about 0.22, which is still pretty close to that 0.25 that we have here. Part of the thing that could explain some of that high heritability that we're seeing with the New Hampshire 2018 data set is those individuals are all highly related. There's a number of selfs crosses that were involved, and some of those individuals that were evaluated are very, very closely related. So taking that into account, we went on and tried to create a couple unified models. So first we started off with a factor analytic one model where we're looking at reducing the variance component down, and that did a pretty good job. And this is actually from a slightly optimized version of that with a factor analytic 2 that just is hot off the press, and I got from Craig Hardner this morning, so this is brand new results. And we're getting a little bit closer. We removed the New Hampshire samples because there is some issues that we need to iron out with the data there and try and get that implemented into the unified model. But based off of the model that we have, we're getting around a 0.16 heritability, which is lower than our individual models, but it's probably a little bit more accurate representation of heritability across what we're seeing versus just one specific environment. And this heritability might go up a little bit too as we tease out some of the subtle nuances left in the data. This is still an ongoing process. And one of the other things we noticed here is, for example, we had a repeated measures design a little bit there with the two Australian trials. And so we separated those out to kind of take a look at them. And Wandon, again, is down pretty much with a zero heritability. It's not very heritable in that environment. But we're getting pretty consistent heritabilities within Nambour. Another thing, too, is you'll notice we only have one Florida trial listed there. What we ended up finding was that from a year-to-year, based off of all of the Florida trials we had, which were, I think, about 8 trials, all of these had a very similar environment. So we kind of collapsed that down. So from that, we wanted to tease out and see kind of how similar were some of these environments, and can we make any inferences about that and have a general idea or get a little bit better idea on how some of these cultivars might be performing in different environments. So here's just a little snapshot of some of the environmental stability or similarity. And you'll notice here that a couple ways of looking at it, either a principal coordinate, and then I have a dendrogram on the right, but the Florida and UK trials kind of separated out into their own clade, and they're very separate. The Nambour and Wandon trials, they're saying, are very, very similar environments, which we expect because they're both in Australia and very close. Whereas more of our temperate environments, being Spain, Oregon, and Michigan, are also quite more similar. When looking at the principal coordinate analysis, I did a partitioning on metroids analysis to try and see how many clusters we could possibly have, see if that can break out anymore, and it gave me only 2 clusters, and then that was also kind of what I was observing when doing a bootstrap analysis on the dendrogram as well. So this is kind of supporting that we're not really able to separate these out on environments by subtropic versus temperate, which is a little bit weird and not quite what we're expecting. So it's something we'll be investigating a little further. So what's next? Well, we want to optimize the unified model and investigate performance of strawberries environments that they haven't been tested in is kind of the overall goal. And then once we have a good model hammered out, we will be implementing this into GDR for use by the strawberry community, where you can feed in your own genotypic data and get an idea of how your varieties might perform in some of these other environments. And as a shout out here, this model can be improved if we have more environments. And so we already have quite a bit of data. But in the future, there might be opportunities to become more involved if any of you have strawberry folks out there have additional trials you'd like to try and contribute data to. And so with that, I'd like to thank our local partners and our international partners who've been really instrumental in this data. And unfortunately, I ran myself out of time for questions. So if you have any questions, you can find me out in the hall after the session.